We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, everybody. We pray that you are having a great week and that you are enjoying life and the freedom that God has given to you. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God, and we are truly honored to spend our day with you, and thank you for tuning in to WMIE or WWBC to make this a part of your day. We're going to continue our week of freedom that we're celebrating here, and we're going to go back to John chapter 8 today. John chapter 8 and verse number 37 is where we're going to begin reading. Hopefully we'll get through this passage of scripture today and then move on to a couple of other passages for tomorrow. John 8:37 says this: I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and what you do, let me read verse 38 again. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So today in this week of freedom, we are going to be celebrating the freedom to hear God's voice. The freedom to hear God's voice. In verse number 37, it's Jesus is talking. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. And so what he said is, I'm not so interested in what your genealogy is. I'm interested in knowing what your attitude towards me is. And he said, you might have the right bloodline, but you've got the wrong heart. He says, you seek to kill me. And then he tells them why. See, God not only knows what we're doing, he knows why we're doing it. And he says, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. So now we moved from a reality, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, to realizing what the opposite of that is. And that is we do not make room. That's what it says. My word has no place in you. You seek to kill me because my word has no place for you. If we don't make God's word a priority, if we don't hide it in our heart, if it is not in us, not just in our head, but in our heart, if his word is not there, then the byproduct of that, the action that that will give birth to, is that we will seek to eliminate Jesus from our life. He said, you are looking to kill me because of your attitude, or your attitude to the word and the lack of my word being in your life. Okay. So this is a very simple process, and that is this. If we do not have God's word in us, murder will eventually emanate out of us. Whether it is being angry and killing a relationship, whatever it might be, we need God. We need his word to be a high priority in our life. If not, we will seek to eliminate. And that's one of the things that we see here in modern society, is that people are looking to eliminate any reference to Jesus. They are looking to limit the influence of the people of God. They're looking to restrict the proclamation of the gospel. And it's because they're hostile to the word of God. They're hostile to the word of God. And over these next few verses, there is a contrast between deception and truth. Deception and truth. And when you are deceived by Satan, you are going to be hostile to the truth. The message of the truth is threatening the lie. Now, here's the reality. The truth is the truth, and it's not threatened. It's going to be firmly established. They can kill you. They can kill me. The truth is still going to be the truth. Okay, they could take it. They could bury it. They could hide it. They can conceal it. They can camouflage it. They can try and subdue it. But the truth is the truth. But a lie is one of these... How do I want to put this? It's one of those things. It keeps compounding, because if you tell one lie, then you have to tell another lie. And when you tell that lie, you've got to remember the lie that you told before so that you, don't lose credibility. A lie is only powerful if it has some degree of legitimacy. And so, the word of God, which is truth, it settled forever in heaven and on earth. If we do not have that inside of us, we are going to be extremely hostile towards Jesus. Verse 38, Jesus says, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Now, I want you to see that the emphasis on the speaking and the doing, Jesus spoke what he witnessed the Father, what he witnessed with the Father. And these people that he was speaking to, they duplicated the acts that they had seen. And he goes on to make it very obvious that their spiritual father wasn't God, but it was the devil. And so it says that he was a liar, and that was his native language. So they're lying. They lying would be something that they're very prone to do, inclined to do. Around our house, listen, we tried to do a good job raising our kids. Our kids were handicapped with not perfect parents, but we did try to do the best that we could. And we have great kids. We really do. They've got a wonderful mother. They've got a father who loves them and cares for them. Raise them in the house of God, and all of them are doing quite well. But there were plenty of times that we had to say that we were sorry. But I tell you what has happened in a humorous sense, and that is things that I have done for the 20 plus years that they've been alive, that they've grown up seeing us do. They are now doing those things, whether it's the way that we laugh at life, which we do a lot of. We have a great time together. Whether it's ministry, I tell you, I get a kick out of watching my kids as they are involved in ministry. And my prayer, believe it or not, is that the things that they saw in us that were good, that they would duplicate those. The things that they saw in us that could be improved on, that they'll improve on them. You see, I'm not threatened if they do something differently than I did, as long as it's better. I want them to have seen good in me, and that it becomes a practice. With that being said, when our kids were growing up with their activities, there were different levels of correction. We studied being parents. We put it into practice. And so there were maximum levels of punishment. And then, you know, there were lesser degrees. Not everything was a maximum offense. But one thing that was lying. Lying went to the top of the list. And there's a reason for that. Because the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And so we did not want lying to become entrenched in their life. I don't want anybody being a professional liar. Listen, we're in political season. Do your own research. Don't believe what anybody's telling you on the surface. Investigate, find out, because the way that the modern political process works is you tell people what they want to hear, whether you believe it or whether it's real or not. You tell them what you want to hear. In other words, they lie to us. They lie to us, and it will have some degree of truth. And you and I, we need to be equipped to know how to deal with that. If not, we're going to continue to be frustrated, because although it is a criminal offense for a citizen to lie to a court or to a Congress, it is not a criminal offense for them to lie to us. Okay, it's a sin, but it's not a criminal offense. So they said, Abraham is our father. And he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, he said, your works are showing who your father is. So I want to ask you to look at the activities of your life, because those demonstrate the condition of our heart. Our actions demonstrate who is having influence in our lives. Who is having influence in our lives? And so he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If we're children of God, we're going to be about the Father's business. There is no second string. There is no first string. It is just all hands on deck. Men and women and boys and girls, eternity is at stake. Please get engaged in the Father's business. Please get engaged in the work of the ministry. And he says, but now you seek to commit, kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. And here we see again that because they had no place in their heart for the word of God, they were seeking to kill him. And because he was telling the truth, which was threatening the lie, now he was a marked man. Okay? And that's why you and I, we have to be messengers of life, and our lifestyle has got to line up with our message. Because they may be able to shut our mouths, but they cannot shut up our lives. I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi that said, preach the gospel constantly and use words when necessary. And he demonstrated what he believed by his very life. Get engaged in with your community and share your heart. They will be able to tell who your father is by our actions. We are not saved by our works, but because we are children of the Most High God, we work the work of the ministry. Okay? And so get involved. A man who has told you the truth. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And so then they go on to describe, you know, what they thought that was their reality. Get this. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. We have one father, God. And Jesus called them to task. And he said, what you are saying is not reality. There is an overwhelming majority, although it is a shrinking majority, of people who claim to be Christians here in America. And what I want to ask you is this. Is there enough evidence in your life to convict you of this? I'm not talking about cultural Christianity. I'm talking about the reality of Christ living in your heart. I watched a video clip the other day of a preacher who said, I'm not talking about Christianity, I'm talking about Christianity, that Christ dwells inside of us. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christian and their actions are indiscernible from the actions of those in society. You and I, if Jesus is living inside of us, we're going to live differently. He said, if somebody claims to have a relationship with God, tell me about your God. Tell me about him. I want to make sure that the God you're talking about lines up with the Word of God. I want to make sure that what you say lines up with this. Now, for those of us, and you hear me talking, I mean, there are a lot of great churches here in Brevard County, and some large ones, some small ones. Size doesn't make you great, as far as I'm concerned. What does make it great is if you are reaching the community with the love of Jesus Christ. So we have one Father God. That's what they said. Jesus said, if that was real, if that was the reality, there would be a different action. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. And so he says, if God were your Father, you would love the Son of God, and you would love the one that he sent to you who came under the Father's authority. You see, being a Christian is not being freed from authority. It is a change of authority. It is a change of government. It is a change of lifestyle. You go from a life of bondage to a life of freedom, and you go from a relationship where the devil is constantly taking from you to a kingdom where God is constantly giving to you. Ministry is not a burden. It is a privilege. And so verse 43 is something that's pretty interesting. It says, why do you not understand my speech? Those are the words that Jesus asked. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, as a communicator, I can fail to adequately convey a message. I can think that I said one thing and actually have said another. That's happened on more than one occasion. And then people ask me about it. And then I say, well, didn't I say that? And they said, no, you said something else. And it's like, oh, well, listen to what I mean, not what I say. that's humorous. But Jesus is not an inadequate communicator. He communicates perfectly. And maybe one day I'll do a series on the questions that Jesus asked. One of them that I find fascinating is, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Well, you and I ought to be able to answer that question and say, well, you ought to be able to find it in one place, and that's my heart. You ought to be able to find it in at least one person. But here he says, why do you not understand me? Why do you not understand the things that I'm telling you? And that is one of the things that happens when we are living in deception, is we do not recognize the language of truth. If I were to travel to a foreign country, I would be in pretty desperate measures, because it would be very easily for them to communicate in a language that I wouldn't understand. It would also be very frustrating, because the things that I would want to communicate to them, they wouldn't understand. Jesus is communicating to them in truth. He knows the key to people's heart. It's not an insufficiency on his part. It was a problem on their part. He says, you have an understanding problem. You have an understanding problem. He says, why do you have that problem? He goes on and he tells them why. Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Okay. As long as you want to do something, you'll find a way to do it. I believe that God is looking to get us to a place beyond having to do something and getting us to a place where we desire and long to do it. Okay. He wants to get you to a place where you don't have to go to church. You want to go to church. You don't have to study your Bible. You want to study your Bible. You don't have to pray. You want to pray. You want to worship. You want to tell your friends about Jesus. You want to live a godly life. You want to bless your family with a godly father or a godly mother. You are of your father. It goes on and says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And so he's describing the reality that Satan has, that he doesn't stand in truth, and that because there's no truth in him. And he says, and that's the reality that they were manifesting at that point in time. And he said, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. If there is not something inside of us that resonates, it's not there. How do I want to say this? Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. If there is no faith inside of us, it is not because God did not give it to us. He's given to every man the measure of faith, but it is something where we have bartered it. We have traded it for the language of deception. We have placed the longing for God with the longing to do things that are more convenient or more pleasurable for the moment, not realizing that they are going to have a sting of death in the end. He says, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So that brings us to an interesting position. What do we do when we live in a community that, how does it say, where the word of God has no place? We continue to live it and we continue to tell it. We continue to speak it. You are not called to be just like the world. I'm not called to be just like the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't drive cars. It doesn't mean that we don't live in houses. And it doesn't mean that we, go around, in our archaic clothes and stuff like that. It means that our life looks differently. In the Old Testament, there was a description that said that there needed to be a distinction between the holy and the profane. There is a difference between good and evil. There's a difference between right and wrong. When it's describing the fruit of the Spirit, at the very conclusion of that, where it's talking about love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, goodness, and all of these things, it says, against such there is no law. I don't know. You and I are not bullies. That's never going to win somebody. You're never going to be able to coerce somebody into the kingdom of God. You're never going to be able to bully them into the kingdom of God. You can never do the Holy Spirit's job. What we are called to do is do our job and allow the Holy Spirit to do his. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He ministers in the hearts of people who are not saved because the Holy Spirit is always drawing and always pointing people to Jesus Christ. And so we need the Holy Spirit doing that in their life. We need people having their eyes opened to the deception that they have been told and that they're believing. So we need to ask God, would you give us words? Holy Spirit, would you guide our tongues so that we will have the words to say, and God, that you will use those words and unlock the key to the door of their heart. You see, God knows what they need to hear. And it's not what they want to hear. You and I cannot compromise our message. The message is the same. It is settled forever. Don't ever water down truth trying to entice somebody else to believe a half-truth. A half-truth is still a whole lie, somebody once said. And so we are there. We are holding out the word of truth. And listen, if they were hostile to Jesus, then you and I, we need to realize that in a society that is addicted to deception, they may be just as hostile towards us. Live the truth anyway. Live the truth anyway. I would also encourage you to do this, and that is be yourself. Be yourself. The guy that you hear here on the radio, this is pretty much the way that I am all of the time. My preaching at church might be a little bit more animated. It is a lot more animated. I'm sitting in a chair behind a microphone, and I can't stand still behind a pulpit. Hardly worth anything. But I tell you what, my attitude towards the word, it never changes. You want wisdom in your life? Get into God's word. You want power of God in your life? Get into God's word. Get into a good church. That's what I want you to tell, because our society needs believers to rise up and say, you know what? We've been there. We've experienced the goodness and the greatness of God, and we want you to experience it as well. So let's close in prayer today. Father, we want to thank you and praise you. We thank you for the freedom that is ours. Lord, we want to thank you for freedom from deception today. Lord, you said that in the last days there would be people that would be following deceiving spirits. God, I pray for discernment in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for exposure of those that are being used to promote deception that would be designed to lead people you died for. You shed your blood so that they could be saved. Lord, that they are striving to deceive them and lead them into a life of eternal bondage. God, may your truth prevail. May it prevail in Brevard County and in America and around the world. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.